How you doing, everyone? It is good to be here. When they asked me would I speak at this elective, I thought, yeah, absolutely. This is probably one of my favorite environments to be in. And so I'm excited for you, and we are jealous for you, not of you, to succeed and do all that God's called you to do. Because how many know, the Bible talks about, and I believe it's true, there's things called kings and priests, and we need each other. Amen? A king is someone who goes out, if you like, to war, brings home the spoils of war. A king with no priest is directionless. A priest with no king is resourceless. And a priest helps give maybe perspective to the king's purpose, and that's what you are. You are in the marketplace. You are there, and you are doing warfare, and you're there to break through and succeed. Amen? And that's a good place to start, isn't it? So I was thinking, what would I share with you? And I was thinking about, 19 years ago, my wife and I went to Virginia Beach, and, we took on what was a pretty small church that was struggling in some areas. But I wasn't too worried about that. I know what my leadership gift is, and I knew I could give that church leadership and direction. And we challenged the church. Come on, let's believe God to grow. One of the biggest things we had to do was get them out of a lack mindset, a poverty mindset, a small mindset, and try to get them to actually have a bigger vision. And we started reaching out to all the different aspects of our community. We had a lot of, in Virginia Beach, there's a lot of restaurants. It's a tourist town is what it is, and it's also a military town. So we want to make sure we reach out to all the restaurateurs, and we saw, and we still do see many of them get saved. They are business owners, guys and girls in our church who've started businesses that have gone on to be incredibly successful. One of the guys I can think of, when he was in the church when we came, he was a bit of a dormant leader, in all honesty. He was just a guy running working for one of the big mortgage companies, and he had the most successful branch in all the United States in the city of Virginia Beach. It was making more money than any branch right across the United States, and which goes to show you don't need to live in Los Angeles or New York to be successful, and that's so true for everybody here. You don't need to be living in a larger place. You just got to be large in yourself, and there's no limit to what God can do. And so he got sick of that and says, under your leadership, I've learned vision. I want to go out and start my own company, and he did that, incredibly successful. And I just love meeting and talking to people in the business place. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, how do I hear from God? How do I make decisions about my business? What's faith and what's just stupidity? What is risk and what is reward? So I was just thinking over the years, I actually, through talking with many, many business people, I believe we're here to make a difference. And so the mayor of our city asked me to be a part of our Vision 2040, which is actually the next 30 years, what the city of Virginia Beach would look like. And he asked me to be part of the Vision 2040 because he goes, Steve, you're a visionary, and I want what you have in this in shaping our city's future. And then on top of that, they were bringing in a basketball 18,000-seat arena, big one of the top marketing companies in the whole country, was doing research and trying to figure out, well, who do we get on board to get the city to actually favor bringing this arena, because it was cost the city a whole lot of money. And so all their research, they came back, and I was approached by this marketing company, and they said, Steve, all the research shows that you're one of the more influential people in the city, so we want you to be part of the board to bring the basketball arena into our city. And so I think that's awesome. I think that's what we're supposed to be doing, is, people seeing that the church, is alive and well. Amen? And so I just, over my years, I've sat down with some business people, men and women, and I wrote down a few things that I'd like to start with, and maybe just try and help you, if you like, some golden rules that I've found myself talking to business people about. And so if you got a pen and paper or an iPad, this is for me, these things are things that I think every person should live by. Number one, happiness is a habit that needs to be practiced daily. Happiness is a habit that needs to be practiced daily. And for me, I actually think happiness is a choice. If we're just happy because business is doing well, then we're going to ride an emotional roller coaster. And I actually think real happiness is not found on the mountaintops, is when you're even still going through the valley, you can still say, God, I choose to be happy today. When everything's going wrong in the company, that you are still able, any fool can lead in prosperous times. I mean, anybody can just be thanking God when the revenue's up, the expenses are down, and the bottom line's improving. But a real leader is somebody who actually has learned how to master themselves. And it's a decision that I believe we just got to make. Happiness is a habit that needs to be practiced daily. Some of the saddest people I've met are some of the wealthiest people. Some of the most confused, directionless people I've ever met are people who actually, they just go, I've got all this wealth, I got all this success, I've got all this opportunity, but I'm not happy. And I just want to say, it's a decision we make every day to be happy. Would you agree? And so that's a good start, I think, is just make a decision. A non-negotiable is I'm going to be happy. Here's a golden rule. Golden rules. Number one, happiness is a habit. Number two, if it's too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. I cannot tell you, because of our church and the influence that God's given our church with senators and congressmen and from the military into the tourism, into every aspect with the police, with the care organizations, I just want to say so many people come with all these great ideas, how they can make all this great money for the church. And they're talking to me, trying to convince me why Wave Church should partner with them. And how that they just say, I'm telling you, I have one guy say, Steve, I'm telling you, if we can do this partnership together, you'll never need finances ever again. And I went, you know, I was talking to Jehovah Jireh just this morning. He sounds nothing like you. If it's too good to be true, chances are it's too good to be true. And here's just some golden rules to live by. If someone's going to talk to you about a deal that is shrouded in, if you like, secrecy, and I understand there's got to be confidentiality, but somebody who's just going, this is just, you can't. I remember one time this guy was trying to talk to him about this financial investment, and he was going, look, you know, this is a, you know, if you invest $50,000, I was never going to do it, but, you know, I wanted to hear him out just for the sake of, he felt like I heard him. And I know the guy, I got respect for him. And so at the end of it, you know, he just like, he finished it, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, this business deal you're talking about, I got a guy who's got a PhD in economics, and I would never make a decision financially without talking to him. So here's what I'd like to do. You know, and he wanted me, not just me, to invest $50,000 with a guaranteed return within 3 months of 100%. I said, well, if it's a guaranteed return on 100%, if you put that in writing, I might consider it. And if you're actually, if you're going to guarantee 100% return in 3 months, that's shady right there. If it's too good to be true. And I said, but the deal, and he goes, but I wanted you also, Steve, to talk to other people. And I said, well, for me to do that, I would need to ask more questions. No, you can't bring the other guy, the guy at the PhD, you can't. This is just a very private deal. Well, right there is my sign, run, Forrest, run, because there is safety in the multitude of counsel. And if you're saying I can't bring in people who I value, you with me here? Then I'm just going to say some golden rules that I think have actually saved me a lot of pain. By the way, a few of my friends did go into that business and they lost a lot more than they ever thought was possible. So if it's too good to be true, it probably is. If someone's got a deal that's shrouded in secrecy and they say things like, you know, it's the opportunity of a lifetime, it's a sign. Would you agree? If somebody's putting golden rules, if somebody's going, listen, you've got to make the decision now, I'll always make the decision they don't want to hear. If someone's pushing me to make a decision because it's actually, you've got to make it now, I go, oh, then the answer's no. Oh, okay, now suddenly they're patient. All right, so thank you for the underwhelming response on that one. Here's another one. Here's the next one is, listen, never, golden rule to live by, never let money control your emotions. Never. It will influence them, But never, I made a decision years ago. I'm reading the story of Cain and Abel, how Cain gave an offering, Abel gave an offering. And of course, you know the story, Cain gave an offering. It was the leftovers that was after, but Abel gave of the first fruits. And the Bible says, God said to Cain, why are you angry? Matter of fact, another translation puts it this way, why is your face downcast? He goes, in other words, God's going, why are you depressed over this offering? He goes, I just didn't accept, I don't like Abel more than you. But Abel gave the better offering because Abel gave it as first fruits. You gave me your leftovers. And he says, if you do what's right, I'll accept your offering. This is not personal. I don't have a favorite. You just didn't do this the right way. God demanded to be first. You got it? And so I love what God says, though, because he goes, why are you downcast? Why are you depressed? I told my business manager when I first went to Virginia Beach, you know, the average income, I think back in those days, was about $10,000 a week, smaller kind of church. And today, the weekly income is about $250,000 or $300,000 a week. So it's grown a little since then. And I always say to my business manager, when I walk in on Tuesday morning, I don't want to be able to tell whether the offering was up or down by looking at you. Oh, I don't want to look at your face, and I'll know it's good if you're smiling, and I'll know it's bad if you're avoiding eye contact with me. You got to learn how to get game face on and teach people what leadership looks like. And we're not ruled by what happened in a week. We're not ruled by what happened in a day, but we are bringing a good report. We are moving forwards. Sometimes it's two steps forwards, one step back. Sometimes advancing means you got to have a bit of retraction. Are you hearing me? And I made a decision years and years ago, I will not allow finances to control how I feel about my emotions. Are you hearing me? Just some golden rules to live by for me that have helped me, and I found other business people have appreciated it. Here's another one. This one's major, major. Never, never, never make a life-changing decision in a valley. Never make major decisions when things are tough. When it's low, guaranteed you will always make the lowest, poorest decision. When you're there's people say, you know, there's light at the end of a tunnel, and the pessimist says, yeah, it's an oncoming train. I say this, when you're in the tunnel, it's dark. Don't get off the train in the tunnel. Wait for the daylight to come. Wait, I remember I was talking to one pastor and he wanted to give up his church because he heard another church was opening a campus in his city. And I said, so that's it now. That's it. You're so intimidated by kingdom expansion that you're going to cave in. So how strong was your vision? How compelling is your vision for your church if you're intimidated by somebody else's success? I remember the owner of Gloria Jeans, one of the co-founders of Gloria Jeans, not co-founder, but one of the co-directors of Gloria Jeans over in Hillsong Church. And we had him come and speak to us in Virginia Beach. And he was talking about the whole story of in the Southern Hemisphere, at least, about Gloria Jeans. And he says, anybody got any questions? And he talked about, don't be intimidated by your competitors. And you just got to know who you are, know where you're going, know you're going to get there. And so this one of our business guys said, how do you deal with Starbucks? And I love the guy's answer. He goes, are they still in business? Because he's not consumed with them. He's just consumed with what? And this guy goes, well, yes, they are. Matter of, and he started rattling off. And I said, you missed the answer. You totally misunderstood the answer. He's not living his life in fear and intimidation of what somebody else is doing. He's doing what God's called him to do. And I actually think that's a really good way to live. Would you agree? So never make life-changing decisions in a valley. This one's big. You've got to establish your non-negotiables now. Don't wait till success comes to figure out what your non-negotiables are. You've got to establish right now, what are your non-negotiables in terms of your life and what success looks like? And so I talked to business people and they said, well, what do you think the non-negotiable should be? And here's a basic one. And I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. I'm saying this because I'm a Christian. Tithing. And you got to make sure that you actually establish that I will tithe on all the first fruits of my increase. I'm of the personal persuasion, and you can completely disagree with this, and you're more than welcome to, but I'm of the personal persuasion that as a pastor, I actually earn a salary from Wave Church, and I tithe on my salary. But I also have a for-profit company called Steve Kelly Enterprises, and that's a business that I run, that it's all overseen by, you know, the corporate accounts and everything else that in terms of the corporate laws of the United States, and I tithe on my business. Are you hearing me? I don't tithe on my revenue, but I do tithe on the net result of what comes. Are you hearing me? And I've met so many business people who actually lose their way. And the tithe is easy when the tithe's maybe $1,000, but when it becomes 10,000, when it becomes millions, suddenly now the tithe gets a little harder, because if you're not faithful in the small things, God will never lead you to the greater. So what are the non-negotiables? To me, a non-negotiable is tithing. Here's another one. God's house will always be a priority. I will not get so big, so large, so successful, so blessed that I'm no longer in church. Are you hearing me? And I'm going to stay married to the girl I married. I'm not going to get so successful I'm trading in looking for something new. Amen? Just non-negotiables. You got to establish them now. Family. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits and loses his children? So non-negotiables about things that you will do. I will be at my kids' games as often as I can. I will see to it that God's house remains a priority. I will see to it that I will be faithful to the spouse that married me when I had nothing. Amen. Thank you for the underwhelming response. It's wonderful. I'm very encouraged. Okay, here's another non-negotiable. Success will not change me. Generosity is a non-negotiable. And Proverbs 22, verse 1, I think this one's really important. You got to value your name. The Bible says a good name is more valuable than riches and silver. I know some people who think riches and silver and gold are more valuable than your name. But you're only as good as your name. And if you get a reputation in your company with a bad name, I got to tell you, it's really hard to change your reputation. Are you hearing me? So when it comes to paying your bills on time, when it comes to doing right by your clients, when it comes to all those things, what's more valuable to you, money or your name? And too many people go after the money rather than understand the importance of your name and of your reputation. All right, just turn to the person next to you and say, that was good. I have somebody else, but it was good. All right, that's just so what I call my non-negotiables, just a few of them. How do I hear from God? And that's a question. I had a guy ring me up one day. He's a lawyer, solicitor. I'm in New Zealand now, solicitor. And he's a good guy. I know him well. And, you know, he's been praying and seeking God for his future. And he rang me up. He goes, Pastor, I've been asked to become a judge in the federal system. And he goes, and I'm just trying to pray about whether or not I should or shouldn't do this. And I said, well, you know, he'd ring me up and, you know, he was the, as you know, as a judge and in the law, he would say, look, we've got to pass a legislative bill about smoking. He goes, I'm trying to figure out how I feel about that because I don't want my Christian influence to bias a decision that needs to be for the city of Virginia Beach and for the state of Virginia. He goes, could you help me out with this? Because I don't want to say smoking's like, you know. And I said, well, what are your thoughts about it? He goes, well, it's not healthy. And I said, okay. So he got conflicted with this idea that because he was a Christian, he didn't want his values to filter and color his decision. And he was getting confused with it. I said, listen to me, man. Listen to me. What do you believe? And you know what they ended up doing? They ended up saying that any restaurant in the city of Virginia Beach that actually wanted people to be able to smoke in it actually had to have its own complete separate air-conditioned system completely disconnected from the rest of the restaurant. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. Do you know how many restaurants did it? None. Not one restaurant did it. And they all said, yeah, well, that's just cost prohibitive. At the end of the day, it's amazing how money is the bottom line. And but he said to me, I don't know about this judge thing. I'm really trying to pray. Should I become a judge? And I said, this is something you and I have talked about. You want this. He goes, yeah. And I said, what's there to pray about? This is in your heart. And he goes, yeah, but I just want to make sure it's God. How do I know it's God? And I said, do you not understand? The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so this is something you and I have talked about. It's something you and I have prayed about. So what's there to pray about? Two-thirds of God's names go. And he goes, you mean it's really that simple? And I went, yes. And here's what the Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 15. This is how I find God. I find God by Colossians 3, 15. It says, let the peace of God rule your heart. That word rule literally means umpire or the referee. So the peace of God is the number one, God will give you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in him. In other words, the desires you have are not yours. They're God-given. Delight yourself in the Lord, and the desires you have will not be the desires that you came up with. But if you delight yourself in him, you'll have God-given desires. So, I mean, now, you know, like if it's outside of the realm of wisdom of Scripture, duh. You with me here? But, you know, if you're saying to me, hey, would you please pray for me? I'm trying to get rid of her so I can marry her. I'd be going, well, okay, that's not a good desire. Are you hearing me? But, you know, you're praying about something you've always wanted to be is a judge. And I said, you want to do it? We've prayed about it. Go for it. I live my life believing I'm in the will of God. Did you hear me? And the Bible says, you know, let the peace of God be the umpire. Have you ever noticed about a referee? At least in theory, the referee's never supposed to determine the outcome of a game. In theory. In soccer, it's a different story, right? But in theory, it's actually the play. And the only time you ever hear from an umpire, in theory, is when somebody does not play by the rules. And when somebody breaks a rule, the umpire blows a whistle. Or he calls foul. He calls a penalty. But the players are not on the field asking the umpire, should they run with the ball? Have you noticed that the umpire never is interested in the people in the bleachers and the stands? He's not even interested in who's on the sidelines. He's only directing his attention to people who are on the field playing the game. And too many Christians are sitting on their blessed assurance, waiting to find out what God wants them to do, but you'll never know what God wants you to do until you're doing it, until you're on the field. I actually think you've got to be very stubborn, very premeditated, and very rebellious to miss the will of God. I live my life believing I'm in the will of God, and if I make a wrong decision, a wrong call, then if I'm on the field playing, then I will hear from the umpire. He will blow the whistle. You with me? So I'm not getting every morning praying about every decision. God, what do you want me to wear today? God, what shoes, what pants, what belt, what shirt, what tie? I can imagine God saying, wear what you like. I'm your father, not your mother. Like, why are we, what is there to pray about? Get out there, be successful, do what God's called you to do. Believe that God is with you. And the peace of God will be the umpire. Many years ago, Sharon and I were believing God for, we were living in the far western suburbs of the city of Sydney. And actually in the Blue Mountains. And she was in the Attorney General's Department in Parramatta City Courthouse. And she looked after all the clerks and all the monitors in the courtrooms that typed up all the, you know, all the notes, all the dialogue. And so every now and again, you know, it was a funny thing because it's embarrassing when you're going to court and there's one of the pastor's wives typing up the warrant for your arrest. And, hi, Sharon, nice to see you. Please don't tell anybody you saw me here. And, but then, you know, the funny thing is we were praying because for her, that was an hour's transportation every day from the Blue Mountains down to Parramatta. A lot of responsibility. The money was okay. But for Sharon Lay in early days of youth ministry, that was a big demand on her time. And so we were praying that she would get a job in the city of Penrith as like a legal secretary. So, and with more money. How many know that that's the will of God right there? Let's just figure that one out right now. And so she, and that would mean far less traveling for her. And so, you know, finally she saw this job come up in the newspaper. She applied for it and she got the job. It was so much more money. And it was only like a 10-minute drive to work now instead of like an hour's commute every day. And so she made the decision. She went into a boss's office and she resigned. As soon as she resigned, she lost all her peace. It wasn't the fear of the unknown. But something in her heart of hearts told her that wasn't, it was the peace of God being the umpire. And I remember she rang me up and she goes, Steve, I've lost all my peace. I just don't feel right about this. And I kept saying, honey, think of the money. I literally got her in the car and I drove her out the front of that where she was going to work. And we sat there and we prayed. I knew straight away what was going on. She lost her peace. The peace of God was going, you know what? Not the right decision. I've always said this. You're only ever two decisions away from the right one. Are you hearing me? And so she went back to her boss and she goes, look, this is going to sound crazy, but I just lost all my peace. I just don't feel like this is God. And so the boss pulled out a resignation. He goes, I was really hoping you'd change your mind. How do I actually make decisions? I live my life believing I am in the will of God. And if I make a wrong call, the peace of God is going to be the umpire of my life. I think that's good right there. Let me just say this. What does God's voice sound like? How many want to know what God's voice sounds like? He sounds like you. You see, to an Irishman, God sounds Irish. To a person in China, God sounds Chinese. God's going to speak to you in a voice you know. Who's ever thought, was that me? Was that God? Because God's voice, he's going to speak to you in the voice. See, if God spoke to me in Chinese, it'd be of absolutely no use. He's going to speak to me in a voice that I know, that I'm familiar with. I've often said, if you haven't heard from God lately, just do the last thing he told you to do. Amen? I ask myself this question all the time. If God stops speaking to me, how long would it take me to notice? Would it be a day? Would it be a week? Would it be a month? Or would I just keep living my life as if nothing's changed? Because I got to tell you, we need to hear from God. Who can say amen? And how do we hear from God? By reading God's word. By being in God's house. The Bible talks about faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. You've got to be in a faith environment. You've got to be somewhere where the word of God is being taught and the word of God is being preached. And you walk out of church going, man, I heard something from heaven today that has inspired me about my life, about my business, about a new opportunity, about my family. And that's by being in the house of God. Anybody say amen to that? How do I hear from God? This one, I am very deliberate on. Matter of fact, just recently I felt the Holy Spirit just challenge me yet again. I've got to turn off the voices of negativity. I got to turn, sometimes, let me tell you, I mean, I've said this many times, some people are so negative, if it put them in a dark room, they develop. And you got to turn off that. Sometimes, listen, all the naysayers are going to be out there. You can't do it. You can't do it. Do you know, we started our leadership college probably, was it 10, 11 years ago? And I wanted to start a leadership college. And I wanted to actually make sure it didn't become another institution that lost its vision and mission. So I wanted to make sure that I, the senior pastor of Wave Church, was also the president of our college, a fully accredited government higher education accredited degree program that we actually have a leadership college. And they said, well, corporate laws are that you actually can't be president and senior pastor of Wave Church, a church and a nonprofit and of an educational institution. And I remember going, but I'm not going to give this birthright over. This is my birthright. This is something God put in me. And I'm not going to hand over the birthright just because I'll find another lawyer. I'll find a lawyer that'll find out a way to actually make this company and make it work. And it was exactly what we did. So people are going to tell, sometimes people want to give you their personal opinions, but guys are under their profession. And you've got to get away from the personal preferences of what they're trying to advise you to do because you've got to know you've got a birthright. And you can't forsake your birthright. God put it in you, and you got to turn off the news, and you got to turn off the media. And that's what God said to me recently. Steve, you're watching way too much news. You're being influenced by all the news that's coming on. And there was times when I just go, dear God, what is the nation coming to? And God goes, when are you listening to me? What am I telling you about the nation? Stop listening to all the news of how America's gone to hell in a handbasket. And if you listen to Fox News, you know, you're over here on the right. And if you listen to CNN news, constantly negative news, then you're over here on the left. And God goes, when was the last time you heard from me? And for me, I just want to say this. If you're going to be a person of faith, you got to sometimes turn off that news Come on, somebody. And just make sure that God's speaking to you. Amen. That doesn't mean we shouldn't know what's going on in the economy and all the rest of it, but just make sure which voice is the loudest in your life. So how do I hear from God? There's a few things. How do I know God's will? I live my life presuming I'm actually in the will of God. And here's the last thing I want to talk to you about just for a moment is this. How do you know the difference between what is faith and what is presumption? This one's really big. I've discovered something about faith. Faith and fear, how many would agree with this? That faith has the power to create and to attract and to produce. Think about faith. What is faith? Faith has the ability to create, doesn't it? I mean, you started that business and maybe you went out there in faith and you created that company, that dream. Faith has the, God did. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was nothing there. And God spoke to the nothingness. Matter of fact, it was worse than nothing. It was darkness. It was chaos. It was empty. It was void. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the earth was empty, chaotic, formless, and void. And God spoke to the darkness. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. So listen, faith has the ability to create. It has the ability to attract, doesn't it? If you got a person, if you're a person of faith, it's amazing how other people of faith will be drawn to you. Amen. It's the principle of attraction. What's in you is coming to you, which is a really good thing, because if you have people always coming to you with negative situations, you got to ask yourself, what is it in you that they find so attractive about you? But faith has the ability to create. It has the ability to attract. Are you hearing me? And it has the ability to produce. I remember several years ago, I said to my wife, I said, you know, I'm going to believe God for my, I think it was my 50th birthday, that I'm going to be able to buy myself a Bentley Breitling watch, a green face Bentley Breitling watch. Now, I wasn't believing someone was going to give me one, because that's actually parasite Christianity. I was believing God I was going to buy one. I've always liked, I'm a bit of a watch guy. I like watches. And so I said, I'm believing God. And then I said, do you know what, honey? Why not? Why don't I take it up another level? Why don't I believe God for a green, because I love green face. I said, I'd even be open to a Rolex. And I almost said it jokingly. And Sharon goes, I know you. It'll happen. And I just forgot about it. And in the sense of it was there, but I never, you know, I'm not consumed with it. And I'm sitting in a church service a couple of years ago. And one of the old Pentecostal great preachers, a man of faith, was sitting next to me. I met him once in my life. And he looked over and he said, Steve, it's so good to see you. He says, I felt like God told me to give you something. And I went, oh, what a sweet old guy. He wants to give me something. Isn't he nice? And I went, oh, okay, man, thanks. And he goes, he starts taking off his watch. No, I didn't even look at it. I could have been like a Seiko citizen. It could have been, you know, a Swatch. I said, no, it's good, man. I don't need your watch. I never even thought about it. I said, it's okay. I thank you, man. And he goes, no, God told me to give you this. And I'm thinking, how's that going to look in the newspaper? You know, preacher takes watch from the old guy, you know. And I'm like, man, I'm good. And he starts crying. He goes, what is wrong with you? He goes, look at my watch. It was a gold Rolex, green face, GMT, limited edition. Only 50 in the entire world. He goes, God told me to give you this. Why won't you take it? And that was the day I realized it doesn't just take faith to believe for something. It takes faith to receive something. To receive something. And I got to be honest with you, there was a bigger part of me that didn't want to take it. And he gave it to me, and I remember thinking, all right, I tried to put it on, it didn't fit because my wrist was bigger than his. So I went to a Rolex store to put one extra link in it. One link cost me $1,000. I'm glad I didn't need two links, I'm just saying. So then the next wise thing you do when you get a watch that valuable is what? You want to make sure it's insured. So I had to get it appraised. At the time, it was worth $35,000. And I'll be honest with you, I was too scared to wear it. I ain't wearing that around the streets. I'm going to get robbed. Someone's going to kill me for this watch. And I got to tell you, then about this August last year, this guy comes up to me and says, Pastor, he says, would you please forgive me? I said, what for? What's up, man? I'm not that guy. I'm believing to be, it's better to give than it is to receive. But he came to me and says, God told me to do this a couple of years ago. And I just went, God, it's too hard. And I struggled with it, and I never did it. And I went, it's all good, man. What's up? He goes, God told me to give you my Bentley Breitling green face, which is the one I'm wearing today. And it's still valuable, but if you try to rob me, in America, I have a gun. And I got to tell you something. Neither time did I think was I going to be given one. Both times. Well, I never dreamt in a million years. But I do know this. Faith is voice activated. And if we're going to live by, listen, I want you to catch it now. Faith has the ability to create. Faith has the ability to attract. You'll bring the right people to your company with faith. You'll attract the best salespeople. If you got faith working, it has the ability to create. My son, when we opened our new Wave Convention Center, we've got 8 campuses, and everything we've done by faith. And so when we opened Wave Convention Center, $22 million facility, my son stood next to me and he looked out at this beautiful building, the best architecturally designed building on the East Coast by architects all up and down the East Coast. I'm a Frank Gehry architect fan. I like Ben Steele and Bent Glass. And my son looked at me and goes, Dad, who would have ever dreamt this? And I looked at him and I said, me. Or it wouldn't be here today. Faith has the ability to create. Faith has the ability to attract. Faith has the ability to produce. How many think we can need some faith? But I've learned something. So does fear. Fear has the same power as faith in reverse. Fear has the ability to create. Fear has the ability to attract. Fear has the ability to produce. Job put it this way. The thing I feared the most came upon me. Fear, because he feared the thing that much, he goes, I was attracting it to me. That which I greatly feared came unto me. The same power there is for faith, for the positive, is the same power for fear in the negative. So I've just made a decision. I'm living by faith. And I'm going to keep speaking out. God is God. I made a decision about the recession. I'm not joining it. I'm connected to Jehovah Jireh, and he will supply all my needs. 1,000 may fall on my left, 10,000 at my right, but it shall not come near unto me. Come on, somebody. You got to understand that you got to live this life by faith. And sometimes all the natural research which needs to be done and all the due process that needs to be done, at the end of the day, you can't make your decisions just on that alone. It's got to be what you believe for. Many years ago, I was asked to be an elder in a church, and in the church I was the youth pastor in. And I thought, well, I'm not able to be an elder because I'm the youth pastor. To be an elder, I thought you had to be old. Like, honestly, that's you know. And so I walked into my first meeting, and they showed all the financial reports, the general ledger, the cash flow, the P&L, the balance sheet. And I'm looking, and it could have been in tongues. I couldn't read anything. And the revenue and the, you know, expenses and the month actual, the month budget, the variance, then the year-to-date actual, the year-to-date budget, the year-to-date variance, then the end of year, and then the profit and loss, and then the balance sheet. I'm sitting there as a little old youth pastor going, I have no contribution to this conversation whatsoever. I have no understanding. I feel the most insignificant person on the planet right now. I walked out of that meeting. And I knew one day I would pastor a church in the United States. I knew one day tens of millions and yes, even hundreds of millions of dollars would come through my life and God would entrust me to pastor a church with that magnitude. And I realized that day, if I'm going to do that, I better get some understanding on these things. So my brother-in-law, who was the CFO of GIO, Government Insurance Office, you guys know what that is. Every time I explain to America, I can't explain it because they don't understand what that even looks like. And so I sat down with him every Saturday for a year and went to his house and he tutored me and mentored me how to read financial reports. And today I can sit down and look at any balance sheet and tell the health of any organization, and I'm able to lead and manage what I know God called me to lead. Now, I didn't want a degree in accounting, and God bless everybody who's got the accounting degrees. Dear God, do we need you? Amen. But I wanted to be able to one day, I knew that was part of my destiny. Faith. Faith has the ability to create. Fear has the ability to create the things you don't want. Turn to the person next to you and say, that was for somebody else. That wasn't for me. That was... Here's another thing I've learned about faith. Faith actually is a spirit. It's a spirit. It's not just like, the Bible talks about the gift of faith. And the gift of faith is one of the 9 manifestation gifts of the Spirit that's for a certain situation for a certain time. And that's a gift of faith. But the Bible talks about there's something, even in my opinion, that is actually more sustaining across your life, and that is the spirit of faith. In other words, to have a spirit of faith. Now, if you knew my wife is... she is the most well brought up, proper. She came from a family that was doing well in life. And, you know, she never really, she came home and mum and dad were home and milk and cookies, like the Brady Bunch story. That's my wife's story. That's not my story. My story is I came from 2 alcoholic parents. Both of them were alcoholics. My father owned a bar in New York City. Could you imagine alcoholics owning a bar in New York City? I had 2 older brothers, 2 younger sisters. Our family was chaos. Our family was a moving hurricane. Sharon is the most calm, stable, nothing gets Sharon flapped. She is the most unflappable, calm, just like, you know, peaceful. Like, she's everything I'm not. And I remember we went to Virginia Beach and we were believing God to be able to buy a house. And I said to my wife, I said, I want to live on the Chesapeake Bay. I want to have a boat in my backyard in the bay on the water. And I said, we're not going to do that in the first year or two because we've got to get used to living in the States. And I said, but I'm believing for it. My wife one day says, okay, well, Steve, and I said, honey, we'll wait for how many years did I say? I think it was 5 years. I said, we'll wait 5 years. Then we'll know how things are going, what it's like to live. And about 3 years into this, Sharon goes, let's go looking for houses on the water today. And I went, no, I need to go to the toilet and I'm going to go home. And she goes, we're going to go look for houses now. I said, no, we're not. Well, guess what we did? We're looking for houses. We're driving around this neighborhood that we liked, and we thought, man, we'd love to live in this neighborhood. This is how faith works. And so we saw this one house, and we rang up, and the realtor said, I'll come out. I'll meet you, and I'll give you a tour of the house. I'm going, no, I really wasn't kidding when I said I need to go to the toilet. I need to go. Sharon goes, hold it. So and the realtor comes out, and of all the things that's annoying, the realtor actually was in our church. She goes, Pastor Steve, Pastor Sharon. I'm going, oh, this makes me mad. And she told us the price of this house, and we both roared laughing. Well, that's way out of our price range. And Sharon said, do you have anything else? Now, you just got to know, Sharon's not the girl that's going to take risks. Do you understand? She at all. I'm the guy that's the faith guy. I'm the guy that's going to go out there, ready, fire, aim. You with me? Sharon's like, 2 + 2 = 4. And this realtor said, well, there's another one for this price. And Sharon goes, we're going to look at it. I said, honey, it's still way out of our price range. I don't even have faith for it. She goes, we're looking at it. And we go, we look at this house. It was a 1955 beat-up ranch home that actually, I mean, it was so old that it had 2 Noah Love Moses on the furniture. It came off the ark. And I'm looking at it. It's dilapidated. And Sharon starts shaking. And it's an acre of land on deep water on the Chesapeake Bay. She goes, this is the house. And I got to tell you, I did not believe for a second it was God. Did I? But I looked at her and I remembered this girl's got a spirit of faith. And there's only 2 other occasions where that's ever happened in her entire life. And I said, honey, I'm going to add my faith to yours and let's believe God for it. And through a series of miracles, we actually ended up buying that house. And my next door neighbor said to me, I hear you're a pastor. I said, yeah, I am. He goes, how's a pastor afford to live down here? And I said, maybe you've never met a successful one. But the truth of the matter is, I felt like saying, the truth is, it was my wife's faith. She had a spirit of faith for it. And I just want to say, when you live with a spirit of faith, rather than just like a moment of faith, but you have a spirit of faith, it actually affects everything. It affects everybody. It affects your entire team and your staff when it's not just a gift of faith to get you out of jail, but it's a spirit of faith where other people catch a hold of your spirit. One will put 1,000, two will put 10,000. Anybody say amen? My time is up. On the money. Praise the Lord. Because the last time I looked at the clock, it wasn't zero, but now it's zero. That help anybody? God bless you, everybody.